Hands of Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network. Jazz with another impressive victory last night. And to help break it down, David Locke, play-by-play voice of the Utah Jazz. His conversations brought to you by the Murdoch Auto Group. David, you in a van down by the river somewhere?
I am in a van right next to the river. There is literally a creek running right behind me. I'm backed into the creek in a van.
How'd this new snowfall do up there? Is it, you got some beautiful powder to cut through?
So I'm at Snowbird today. It's the first time I've been up Little Cottonwood Canyon since all of the avalanches and everything. It was quite something driving up. The amount of avalanches and the size of them was significant. You can understand why this place was closed down for a little while. The visibility is not great yet today, and the wind is significant. So today's not a banner day out here, and I would say it's been mostly skied. But it's still good. You know why? Because a bad ski day is kind of like pizza.
Doesn't exist.
Right.
Sounds like your dad still got it.
He does. He's with me, actually. He just had to take a break so I could. So he's in a van down by the creek, too. His life is really falling apart at 81 years old. He's now, like, in a van all the time.
I love it.
I think he thinks his son is a little crazy with his van obsession, but that's all right.
So last night, I was up in Logan doing the coach's show, and I'm driving home, and I'm listening, and Jazz are down 11 kind of midway through the third quarter, and I'm thinking, oh, boy, this is not good. Park the car, go in the house, say hi to the wife and kids, get kind of settled, turn on the game. And, usually I'll start it at the beginning of the recording. And I thought, I'll just catch up live. And the Jazz are up 10 in the early fourth quarter. I'm like, wow, what happened? So I'll ask you, David, what happened?
So honestly, I actually came home and watched it. Because calling it, I didn't know what had happened. Like, all of a sudden, you know, it's just play after play, and next thing you know, you're like, oh, up 3, up 6, up 9, up 12. Whoa! Like, game over. And, it was pretty mammoth, right? I think it was about 44 to 11 at one point, or 22 to 2, depending on where you wanted to go with it. When I went back and rewatched it, I was really surprised a little bit about what I saw, or maybe this is what great teams do. So it actually started with Donovan, and it was interesting. If you go back, I listened to John Kiefer put together Jazz Game Rewind, which is available on 1280 The Zone's website, I believe, as well as on the Utah Jazz Radio podcast. But anyway, I actually say, like, as they go to a break at one point, like, Donovan going to timeout, really animated about where people are in the wrong spot. Like, they had just gone down 11, and Donovan was hot. He came out and created a juice and an energy in the next few possessions. Joe hit some shots, but they didn't, like, break through there. They missed some shots, too. Rudy turned it over a few times when he first came into the game. And George Niang made about two or three really high-level defensive plays. Rudy, of course, did as well. There was a play, and they're subtle. When you go back and watch them, I think they're what really, really good teams do, because had they not made those plays, then you're still down 11. You're still, maybe you're down 13. And instead, Niang gets back in transition defense and cuts off Lonzo Ball, and he retreats out and tries to go one-on-one on Niang he gets a bad look, and the Jazz turn it into a bucket on the other side. Niang switches off of his man and cuts off Ball on a low pick and roll, and Clarkson, beautiful play, connected, cuts into the pass to P.J. Washington, steals the pass, and it leads to a break the other way for the Jazz. Those plays, if those plays aren't made, as good a shooting team as you might be, an offensive team, you're still down 13 or 14. I don't think you come back and win. And so what really was interesting to me is the two things that sparked it. One was Niang's defense, not the 7 threes we're all talking about. And two, Jordan Clarkson makes two really unselfish plays. Like, how it's possible that we can be referring to a guy who took, I think, 10 shots in his first 9 minutes on the floor last night as unselfish. But it's truly what he did late. Like, in that stretch, he hits two big threes himself, but he makes a beautiful pass out to George, and he makes a beautiful pass to Joe or maybe even to Mike on unselfish plays that are just playing right. Like, they're playing the right way. And that's the connectivity this team has that leads to, these post-game press conferences we're hearing where, George credits everyone but himself for his 7 threes last night Joe did the same thing the other night. Jordan did the same thing the other night. Donovan's done it numerous times. So it was interesting, and then it capped off with just some incredible defensive plays by Rudy.
David, the Utah Jazz now have 100% winning success when the bench hits 19 or more threes. Is this
can I go out on a limb?
Yeah.
That will hold to be true always.
Is this,
in fact,
the new
I'm willing to say that number could be 15 and be true forever.
19 threes from your bench. You couldn't have imagined this when you started into this gig years ago, David, that you would call a game where you've got 19 made bench threes.
So I always go back to Kevin Pelton on this, the great ESPN stats guy and, you know, close friend of mine. I always used to ask him, like, how many more? His answer always was five more. Take five more threes a game. And then I'm like, then what? He goes, then take five more threes a game. And I was like, then what? He's like, then take five more threes until we reach the point where it's no longer effective. But we haven't reached that point yet. So really, truly, it's, you know, take five more. Like, you know, we took 50 against them last time. Take 55 this time. And there is something to what Kevin's saying, that the efficiency of the three, and it's only going to increase. Because the shooting in this league is getting better and better and better right now. And so what you're actually, you know, it's not just that the three is a better shot because of the math, but the three is now a better shot because everyone's a better shooter. So, you know, we're going to see this continue. And there's going to be 30 threes in a game. As I said to you guys earlier, we got close last night. There's going to be 70 attempts in a game. It's going to happen.
I think the Jazz are going to get 30 sometime this year.
I said that earlier this year and everyone laughed at me. Then I thought about it some more and I thought it was crazy. So I still am a little unsure of how we're getting to 30. We got close last night, but 30 really means you've got to take 60 attempts and make 50%, obviously, but 60 attempts is just a ton. And you would think in most circumstances, if you're at 25, 26, 27 threes, the game's not close anymore. Like, I'm actually curious. There have been three teams in NBA history that had three guys off the bench score 20. I'm assuming the other two lost.
Yeah.
Right? Usually your bench scores 20 if your starters get benched and then you're down 20 and your bench scores a bunch of points. So I don't know if that's true, but that was kind of when I heard that stat. I was like, yeah, because if you've got three guys on your bench score 20, it probably means your bench played too much and you lose. And that would be the uniqueness of last night. We'll see. I do strongly believe with us, I'm sure you've heard my geeky thing on this, that the more we take, the higher our percentage goes. And it's actually true. If you kind of plot our three-point shots and are based on attempts and then plot it on a graph at our percentage, the variance, naturally, the larger the sample size, the variance gets smaller. And we're about a 40% three-point shooting team. So when we take 45 threes a night or even 40 threes a night, our range is only – it's about 36 to 44. Now, last night we busted it, and we've busted it once before against Charlotte. But when we take 35 or 30 threes, our range is like 31 – can get as low as 31%. So the more threes we take, the less likely we have a bad night, as weird as that sounds. But it actually intuitively makes sense.
All-star announcements coming soon. David, are we going to hear two or might we hear three?
We're going to hear two tonight. What will be interesting is, so we have the five starters and then we have seven more spots. There's six that to me are just no-brainers. I don't know if I can do it off the top of my head, but it's Donovan, Rudy, Anthony Davis, Paul George, Devin Booker, and Damian Lillard, right?
Yeah.
Those six are in. The seventh is Zion, CP3, Mike Conley, or Brandon Ingram. Now, our hope would be that the voting took place when the Jazz were at their peak, that Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson split the vote, and that Conley gets more votes than Chris Paul. That would be the scenario where Conley gets his name heard tonight. I think the likelihood is that Zion gets the final spot, and then the league chooses either Mike Conley or Chris Paul as the Anthony Davis replacement.
Gotcha.
I was talking about the whining and belly aching that would come if Mike Conley got the nod. You'd hear it from Nuggets fans about Murray. You'd hear it from you'd get it from every single angle because
Actually,
of how tough it is to get a guard in.
I don't think so. I think Mike Conley's so well respected around the league that understanding he's in his 13th year and he's never had an All-Star game and considering his career, I don't think there would be that much belly aching. I think people would kind of tip their hat and say, you know, this guy's been a borderline All-Star his entire career, and he finally gets his bid, and that's great. Like, I don't think Nugget fans think Jamal Murray's been very good this year. Maybe I'm just Pollyanna on this one, but I actually go the other way on that hand. I think there won't be that much belly aching if Mike Conley gets the bid.
Interesting.
And it's four games ahead of anyone else in the West right now. Have you guys played that game yet?
What game's that?
So, 40 games left, right?
Yeah.
So if we go 25-15, Lakers and Clippers have to go 30-10.
In order to pass them up?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. If we go 25-15.
Which is?
The minute we go 27-13, which is really good, don't misunderstand, we're not going to win 96% of our games the rest of the way like we are right now. But the minute we go 27-13, they have to go 32-8.
Okay, so because we don't have the second half of the schedule, you know, they've got the Lakers coming up tomorrow. They've already seen the Clippers three times. So how many more heads up will he get with the Lakers and the Clippers? Are they going to get the full four?
I don't think we play the Clippers. Scotty, I need your. I don't know why I just put this on you, but I need you to bail me out here. I think the 72-game schedule is 30 games against the non-conference opponents, right? So we're down to 42. You're playing your four teams in your conference four times. That's 16. And then you're playing three games against the other teams in your conference, right?
I believe so. I'm looking it up right now.
So you only have how many? You're only playing two or three or four of your conference non-divisional opponents more than three times.
Okay.
So there's a real chance we're not playing the Clippers again.
Let's see. Three games against the 14 opponents in the same conference. Two games against. You're right. Yep.
So is it guaranteed we're not playing the Clippers again, or just a chance we're not playing?
A chance, yeah.
So there's a chance we have the tiebreaker against the Clippers already.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The Lakers we will play
at least two more times.
Not at least three, but only because they've not played the Lakers.
So
yet.
You got four games against the other four division opponents, four games against six out of division conference opponents.
So that six of the remaining 10 conference opponents. So the chances are we do play the Clippers another time.
Yeah,
we probably only play the Lakers three times. Right. Including tomorrow night.
Three games against the remaining four conference teams, and then two games against teams in the opposing conference.
Yeah. So six teams, six of the 10, you're playing. So since we played the Clippers three times, there is a chance we're not playing them again, but assume we probably play one more against the Clippers.
Yeah. Well, that brings it to the importance level of this Lakers game coming up tomorrow, where the Lakers will be shorthanded.
Oh yeah, you gotta pounce all over the Lakers without Dennis Schroeder and Anthony Davis, because then all of a sudden you're up five in the loss column and you have the first win and you may only be playing them two more times.
Oh boy.
And so now our 25-15 game we just played gets even better. You know, tomorrow's a big game for the Jazz, and I'll add on to it, this is totally speculative. If we can get ahead by four or five games, they don't stop playing for the number one seed. Like, they don't need it.
Not like the Jazz do.
They can win the West. If you're the Lakers, you're not thinking you need the number one seed to win the West in any way, shape, or form. Like, coming to Salt Lake for two games and getting one is not daunting to LeBron James and Anthony Davis. But from our standpoint, I mean, first of all, you know, we could have 18,000 people in the crowd by then. I don't know what the rules will be, but I'm pretty certain I know what the rules – that if we only have 835 cases a day and you told the fans it's their choice, I'm pretty certain how many people would be in the building.
I mean, when they laid out the schedule, they distinctly put in there's a possibility of that for sure.
All right. So I mean, if the number one seed is far more important to us. I also think the number one seed is really important to us because, you know, I think the Clippers are great. And obviously we know the Lakers are great. So, if you don't have to play them, and you can let them play each other in the second round, that is, mammoth.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of the playoffs, Tyler tweets in, said, please ask Locke why he's given up on the Jazz. He said the Nets will absolutely win it all.
You want me? Scotty, I love you. But my dad's in the van, so I'm not going to do it.
Oh, come on.
By the way, you caused a real problem between PK and PJ.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that spilled over into this morning, too.
Oh, what happened?
Oh, PK went after DJ for about 4 hours.
On what? About what?
About looking ahead to the Nets.
Because DJ sent out a tweet that said, all right, who's going to do it? Brooklyn versus the Jazz in a second. And PK just would not relent.
It's like Brooklyn's virtually unbeatable.
Would you care to expound on that?
Yeah, their offense is like they're going to break the game. I mean,
like better than Golden State with Kevin Durant? Better than that team?
I think so, actually. They're right there, though. They're right there, and they're right there with the Heatles.
Wow.
I mean, so you have Durant, who's the second most efficient player in the league. You have Harden, who's like the third. You have Kyrie Irving, who's the seventh. But you have Joe Harris, who's the eighth.
Shut her down, everybody.
Like, everyone's like, oh, if they play defense. Like, yeah, if they play defense for like seven possessions, they'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Milwaukee, it's like, poor Milwaukee, right? They did everything, and they're not playing well, and they now have this monster they have to deal with. Thank goodness for them they signed Giannis.
Well, hey, always a pleasure. Always fun to catch up with you. And
are you just so disappointed that I showed restraint and didn't bite?
I'm colossally disappointed. Like I read that and I'm like, oh, this is going to be a fun one to end it with. And
not everyone can be as cool as you. You have the I told my I don't know if you've been public with this, so I'm staying quiet. I told my daughter what she texted me the other day. She was like, that's so cool. I mean, do you realize how hard it is to get a 16-year-old girl to think that something an adult is doing is so cool? Like, you rock, Scott Gerard.
That was cool. Yeah, but That's
beyond cool.
Yeah.
Beyond cool.
Yeah. Kept that one to myself.
Was he texting you about how much he hates Boise State?
No, yeah. See, I need to show some restraint because I got in trouble. I'll tell you that story later.
What'd you do? You got in trouble?
I ran my mouth about how much Boise State's a bunch of whiny POSs and
on-brand crybabies.
And may have tweeted out something very similar. And boy, when I went to – see, I should have done that after I left Boise, but I did it before.
He was there for 4 days.
And I was there for 4 days and two games in that arena. And apparently they have Twitter up in Boise.
Major new development in Boise that they actually have technology.
And
you're from Idaho, right?
No, that's true.
Most of Idaho are Boise State fans, right?
Oh, now they are. Growing up there, then nobody knew it existed. And that's part of my beef is like I got all these friends I went to high school with, and they were BYU fans or whatever, even more University of Idaho fans, and now they're like, oh, I've been a lifelong Boise. Shut up. No, you weren't. You couldn't have pointed that at a map before 2003. Knock it off. Anyway, see, now you're getting me in trouble again. Who's showing restraint now? Holy smokes.
How did this go over?
Not well. Their sports information department was there and ready to have a good solid chat about some things that I had said.
So. Say, Scotty didn't have any internet access while he was there.
And there was.
The tires ended up slashed.
I'm surprised we were able to get up, get on the air,
His hotel room was in a mop closet.
Anyway, David, always a pleasure, my friend. We'll catch up soon.
By the way, you know what the Locke rules say about this issue now moving forward, right?
Stay petty and stay vindictive?
Absolutely.
Yes, I plan on it.
They misstep, and you never miss firing back.
Yep.
You might even at the sports information directors while you're at it.
I like it, David. Good advice, David.
You're the man. Thanks.
See you, bye.
David Locke, his conversations brought to you by the Murdoch Auto Group right here on the Zone Sports Network.
Good advice.
Yeah.
In fact, hit him right now. Get him with one.
Yeah. Let's wait a little bit. Let it marinate.
Gosh, why couldn't Utah State have won those two?
I know, right?
You could have been so lippy.
I would have been. Not like I had a single thing to do with it, but I've been puffing out my chest like crazy. Come get your whooping, Broncos.
That'll teach you to be a bunch of crybabies.
Yeah. Katie's hanging out with us right now. I bet Katie has as much. Well, I don't know. You guys are up in Boise now. You got to be careful what you say about Boise.
Yeah, I can't do a Greg Rebell and just come on here and throw the hammer down.
So you went up to Boise, huh?
How'd that go for you?
What happened up there?
That go all right for you?
Where are you at right now?
I forgot. Yeah, it's all moved up into Idaho now. How's things going up in Idaho?
Idaho's crazier than Utah as far as the market goes. Boise's got quite the hot market up there. So
Really?
Yeah, it's... Even less is on the market right now up in Idaho. So, we'd love to get some more houses on the market up there for him. But there's a lot of buyers up in Idaho, a lot of people moving into Boise. It's a place to live.
So let's talk about you guys did a really cool thing when you got into the Vegas market with the new football stadium down there, where essentially you were showing the stadium.
Can you not even say the name Raiders? Like you can't even like speak it?
The Vegas It's like the old Redskins, like the Las Vegas football team. But you're doing the same thing up here with Vivint Arena.
Yeah, it's actually why I'm here today. We are doing with Homie, when you sign up with Homie, you get photos of your home, right?
Yeah.
And now you also get a 3D tour of your home included with your listing. So every Homie listing has a 3D tour, so you don't even like need to leave your house to.
Is that
see.
One of those things where you kind of hit the arrow and it kind of walks
you
through
like
the whole thing?
Yeah, it's like kind of like Google Map. It's
yeah,
like a Matterport, I think is what it's called.
That comes with it.
That comes with it.
How much did that increase the sales price?
It didn't.
It didn't.
It didn't increase the listing price.
Are you kidding me? So
same?
For $1,500, when you use promo code Hance at homie.com, you get all the professional photos and now a 360-degree tour.
Yeah.
I can't even believe it. Homie is one of my it is absolutely one of my heroes. Coming in, revolutionizing the world, keeping people's equity in their pocket, taking away the theft that has gone on for so long in the real estate industry, and keeping the money in the pockets of the people that deserve it.
Yeah. So it's really neat to have a 3D tour,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Really neat. And so we have a fun thing going here where we like to kind of pull little pranks a little bit, and we like to list things that, you know, probably aren't for sale. Like for instance, Vivint Arena. We're gonna list Vivint Arena or Raiders Stadium. We made a listing for the Raiders Stadium, a mock listing, and so we have all the photos and the 3D tour down there, and we're doing that here for the Jazz, and so. We're taking that 3D tour today, and hopefully in the next few weeks we'll be able to share with you guys that 3D tour is live. And I know not everybody can come into the stadium right now and come into the arena or go into the Toyota Club or these other places that you generally don't get to go. And we're going to give you the opportunity to walk through all of that. So it's going to be pretty neat.
I think that's really cool, too, to be able to – and just if you're a diehard Jazz fan, to see what this room looks like and what goes on here. Just make sure that everybody's well-behaved when you do the walkthrough for the radio arena,
yeah,
or the radio studios.
Yeah,
here.
We'll make sure everybody's well behaved.
Yeah, Austin,
the best we can.
He'll have Austin over there by the microwave cooking the noodles and
get to the cup of noodles.
when? What's the timeline on that? When do you think you'll have that up?
Today's the last day of the photos, so we're actually hoping probably in the next 2 weeks.
Oh, man, that's great.
Yeah.
Go to homie.com, whatever you need. Buy, sell, whatever you're looking to do. Loan, title, it's all right there at homie.com. That's homie.com right here on the Zone Sports Network.
The Big Show. The Big Show. With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson. Chris Mannix from Sports Illustrated.
Who is more important to the Utah Jazz, Rudy Gobert or Donovan Mitchell?
It's tough. It's a coin flip, and they both do different things for that team, which is great for the Jazz. You can make an argument both ways, but this might be the year where you give Rudy a bit of the edge. I think Gobert has been like a top five MVP guy this year. He's been unbelievable. Not just the usual defensive stuff, but screen setting, creating space for his guys to operate with those big screens, rolling off them, just the little things that often don't show up on the stat sheet. Every time I'm watching Jazz games, like, he's doing something that's impactful on the offensive end. He's doing a little bit of everything out there, and it's really powered this Jazz start.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7, presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust, on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Time for Sports Roulette, brought to you by Davis Vision. During this month of February, you get $1,000 off on LASIK. Call 801-253-3080 or online at davisvisionmd.com. All right. A lot going on. Lloyd, spin that wheel.
NFL MVP or Jeopardy nerd?
Do you know who the actor Shailene Woodley is?
Only because of what you're about to talk about. The name did not ring a bell until I saw her pop up in headlines.
Okay, so she's in two movies that I really, really like. Fault in Our Stars and Adrift. Fault in Our Stars is a total chick flick, but it's...
Oh, is that where they're the two kids dying of cancer or something like that?
Correct. And then Adrift is she's a girl that falls in love with this guy that's a sailor.
Oh,
and
the guy's dead the whole time.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen it?
No, you told me about it.
Great movie.
But if anybody wants to watch it, the guy's actually dead the whole time.
Okay, well, that ruins everything because...
Well, that's me telling you not to watch a dumb movie.
No, because the whole time... Sorry. What, man, sometimes you just
I'm sorry.
Get,
that I,
you're
I,
so rude
as soon as
so
I said
mean.
It, I knew I that was a wrong thing to do. I'm sorry.
You're not sorry.
I am
you're
sorry.
You're proud of yourself. You're grinning. You just ruined
I just,
it.
No, I'm grinning because I feel sheepish.
Well, Shailene Woodley is a fantastic actress, and she's stunning, absolutely beautiful, and knows nothing about football and nothing about what her new fiance does really for a living. This is Shailene Woodley in an interview with Jimmy Fallon.
I keep reading that you are engaged to football great Aaron Rodgers. And is that true? Are congratulations in order?
I mean, I've been reading that too, which is kind of, it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Yes, we are engaged. We are engaged. But for us, it's not new news, you know? So it's kind of funny. Everybody right now is freaking out over it. And we're like, yeah, we've been engaged for a while.
I love that.
Yeah, we got engaged a while ago. And it's been, he's, first of all, just a wonderful, incredible human being. But I never thought I'd be engaged to somebody who threw balls for a living. Like, I never thought as a little girl, I was like, yeah, when I grow up, I'm going to marry someone who throws balls. Yeah. But he's really just so good at it. And
he really knows how to throw a ball. Yeah.
He can throw fast balls. He can throw slow balls, high balls, low balls. When I first met him, I think my dog like pulled me aside and was like, if you don't date this dude, I will disown you as my mother because the 3 feet that I run with you when you throw a ball is nothing compared to the marathon I'm able to run with him.
I can't even imagine. I mean, he's honestly, he's been on the show a bunch of times, so please give him our best. He's one of the greatest players to ever play the game. Have you spent much time in Green Bay, and are you a football fan?
I still have never been to a football game because we met during this wacky time and all the stadiums were closed that he was playing in. So I've yet to go to a football game. And before I met him, I'd never seen one football game before. I didn't really grow up with sports, especially American sports. It was never really on my radar. And so all of when we met also, like, I knew he was a football guy, but I didn't know like what kind of a football guy he was. Oh, and I'm still constantly learning. I'm still like, oh, wow. You know, friends would be like, you got to watch his YouTube greatest, or you got, and I was like, I don't get it. He's good. He's great.
He's
like,
really
I don't understand.
That's so funny.
Cause I don't know him as a football guy. I know him as like the nerd who wants to host Jeopardy, you know, like that's the dude I know.
He loves Jeopardy. I love
that. He just happens to also be very good at sports.
Throws high balls, low balls, fast balls, slow balls. Okay.
Never even watched a football game. She said,
maybe that's part of
he's a geek and likes Jeopardy.
Maybe that's kind of the appeal. Like maybe because his whole world is football, that he wants to be with somebody who knows absolutely zero zilch, nothing about sports.
There's a lot to that.
Actually, I think that's probably that's probably the appeal there. Where he's like, when I come home, I don't want her to be like, "Hey, why'd you throw deep into that cover too? Like, what was that about?"
There's a lot that goes into that, Scotty.
Yeah, when I grew up, I'm gonna marry someone who throws balls. Yeah.
By the way, he's got to get his studio audience back. That is a really rough watch when you don't have the crowd.
Yeah,
and it's reacting. Just Jimmy like.
Yeah, it's rough.
Jeez, that's obnoxious.
He can throw fastballs, he can throw slow balls, high balls, low balls.
I find her wildly adorable. I really
Hey, by
do.
The way, isn't there a massive, isn't she like, I mean, she's in these teenage movies, right? Like, there's got to be a massive age gap here.
No, I think that she's mid to late 20s, because I think she was old playing a teenager.
All right. What's Aaron Rodgers these days, 37, 38?
Is he that old?
He was in the 04 draft, so.
All right, so she is 29.
Okay, that's way older than I thought she was.
Amanda's like, she's like 20.
and Aaron Rodgers is 37.
Amanda is not 20, she's 29.
So he's well within the half plus seven.
He's 37?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think that. There's a lot to that, Scotty, and I'm not even kidding. There's a ton to that. I know. I always joke that Amanda never listens to our show, like ever. She doesn't listen to our show. She doesn't watch sports. She'll throw on her 49ers shirt every once in a while when the 49ers are good, and I love that. And I think it's absolutely cute when she jumps in and she's like, oh, I want to watch this. And then I'm like, oh, this is fun. You're going to sit down and watch a game. And she does for 5 minutes and then goes back to, you know, whatever. I like that because I'm so overly involved in it that it's nice to have somebody that's kind of disconnected from it.
Yeah.
Our life is all sports anyways. All of our kids are sports 24/7, but that's not her interest. So I do appreciate that. I don't want a girl that I get home and she's trying to debate who the best linebacker in NFL history is. I don't want that girl.
Yeah, but you also want somebody that's appreciative of what you're going through. Like,
yeah,
you know, that
knows the pains. And
she's like, hey, I need you to take 2 weeks off in October so that we can go to the Cannes Film Festival. He's like, I can't. I've got two games. She's like, well, it's a game. Take it off. Like, just
all you do is throw balls.
All you do is just get somebody else to throw the balls that next Sunday.
Didn't they draft a guy that's better than you?
Drafted a guy for a reason.
You don't get any days off.
She is right though. He does throw them high and low, fast and slow. she's right.
When I first met him, I think my dog.
Oh, geez.
Her dog wanted her to date him
her dog
so that
knows
he
more.
Could throw a ball further than her.
Her dog knows more about football than she
balls.
Does.
Yeah.
And she's having these weird conversations with her dogs, too, that might be sending up some red flags if I was Aaron.
Well, we talk to our dogs, Scotty.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they don't talk back.
That. No.
It doesn't matter. They look at us and they know.
They do
and they
know.
Talk with their eyes.
She is absolutely stunning. She's adorable. She's fun. She's a great actress. Fantastic actress.
Okay, maybe calm down.
No, I really do like her. She's a great actress. Like everything I've seen, the two movies I've seen her in, both of them were
fantastic.
I'm
so sad. We have cancer. We're going to die. I'm talking about the movie.
Yeah, I don't think we should be making light of those things.
I'm making light of the movie. Stop it. Don't make something out of nothing.
Hey, no, look, there's a lot to that, what you just did.
Hey, the mic's yours. Go ahead. Dump's all used up.
What would you like to say about cancer?
I'm so sad. My guy died on a boat. It's the worst day ever. Blech.
Okay, that one's okay. The other one, not so much. Go ahead. The mic's yours.
You guys are the worst. Jeez.
No, you're the worst. She's a good actor. Those are good movies. I liked them a lot.
Go cancer.
Go ahead, Mike. Well,
hey, you're the one that talking about running the 5K for prostate cancer. We're out here promoting. That's where that came from, is you talking about running a 5K to promote prostate cancer.
I mean, promote the fight against.
But my cut's the one that we get comes away from it.
I'll stick by it. I think she's a good actress.
All right, fair enough.
And both those movies are good.
And I should probably.
It's not a date. It's just a couple of guys going out to support cancer.
There we go.
Go cancer.
That's what it was. That was for Austin's thing. For his play.
For Austin's play?
Yeah. Remember the whole thing that he put on?
Oh, yeah. Was, that's right. I forgot the fundraising aspect of that.
Was support.
I was so blown away by the acting ability of Austin, who could act circles around
Damian Woodley.
Aaron Rodgers' fiance.
No, come on. Shailene is very good at what she does. She is the modern day. Who's our actress from Jurassic Park?
Laura Dern?
She's the modern-day Laura Dern.
Geez, that's not saying much.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, whoa.
I like Laura Dern.
It's not.
You dial it down over there.
Laura Dern was her mother in that movie.
That's right. She
Fault
was.
In Our Stars.
That is correct. All right. Hey, a little bit of breaking news in the world of golf. We'll tell you what that is coming up next. Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Go cancer.
This is DJ and PK.
Time to bring in Rick Vanelli. Covers the Charlotte Hornets in the NBA for the Charlotte Observer.
The Hornets, coincidentally, played the Sixers and the Jazz in back-to-back home games recently. I got a first-hand look at arguably the two best teams in the league. I thought the Jazz were a significantly more complete team than the Sixers are. The Jazz has that real rarity right now of being exceptional at both ends of the floor. It's not a coincidence. They've got a lot of weapons. Quinn is doing an exceptional job of coaching that team. They're built to win, and I don't think this is going away.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Difficult story coming out of Southern California. This from the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. On February 23rd, 2021, at approximately 7:12 a.m., the police department responded to a single vehicle rollover traffic collision on the border of Rolling Hills Estates and Rancho Palos Verdes. The vehicle was traveling northbound on the Hawthorne Boulevard at Black Horse Road when it crashed. The vehicle sustained major damage. The driver and sole occupant was identified as PGA golfer Tiger Woods. Mr. Woods was extricated from the wreck using the jaws of life. by the Los Angeles County firefighters and paramedics and transported to a local hospital by ambulance for his injury. He is still currently in surgery. That is the only update. Looking at the footage of the wreck, it is substantial to say the least.
Looks like he rolled down the side of a hill or cliff in this, doesn't it?
Yeah. Multiple rollovers.
I'm just watching the aerial footage from Fox 5. They're currently circling the vehicle, just kind of showing the damage. And as you pointed out, it looks like the motor even flipped out of it.
Yeah.
And where you've got the jaws of life to get Tiger Woods out of this vehicle, it must be terrible. I've seen a couple of different reports from people that I somewhat trust on Twitter, including Canzano, who said that it's multiple leg injuries.
Oh, man.
And the surgeries that he's currently going through are for the multiple leg injuries. You know, your mind goes to so many different places instantly when it's a single car incident and all the history in the background of Tiger. Your mind goes to so many places, but what I would suggest is to let it just go to the thoughts that, you know, that he's okay, that he can make it through this, because Tiger Woods has been through so much, and watching that documentary, actually just kind of getting an idea of where he came from and why he is who he is and what he is, it helped me understand that, you know, he's fighting demons just like all of us are fighting demons. And I think the only thought you should have in your mind right now is, I hope he makes it through this.
Yeah. Yep.
And also, I'm glad that, you know, there's nobody else involved. There's no other people that are injured. At least it's not being reported that there was anybody else in the car. Have you seen?
No. As far as I can tell, no.
Now, all these reports are still very new that are coming out in regards to the Tiger Woods accident, but it does look to be significant. It is good news that they were able to get him from the vehicle and at least still alive. I mean, hearing that he's in surgery and that he wasn't dead on arrival is good.
Yeah. By the way, here's a statement from Mark Steinberg, the agent of Tiger Woods. Said Tiger Woods was in a single car accident this morning in California where he suffered multiple leg injuries. He is currently in surgery, and we thank you for your privacy and support. So there's the confirmation of the leg injuries.
Yeah, thoughts go his way for
sure. Yeah, no doubt. And we're not even talking about playing golf again. It's just quality of life and coming through this thing. But if there's one thing you can take away from this is that when you hear multiple leg injuries, you're thinking, okay, well, at least you're still alive. You know, that doesn't sound like life-threatening injuries.
Exactly.
So if there's anything you can take away from that, it's that, you know, because you're not worried. I mean, like, I don't think any of us should be concerned about seeing Tiger Woods on a golf course again. You want to see Tiger Woods alive. And if he's dealing with leg injuries, hopefully that means that these aren't life-threatening injuries.
I mean, how crazy is it that at 11:30 during Good, Bad, and Ugly, we had Tiger Woods in the bad because he just went through a back surgery and was on an interview with Jim Nantz and said that he doesn't think he'll be ready for the Masters because of this back surgery.
Yeah.
He just went through this back surgery. It was just, I think it was just last week. And I talked about some of the specifics on the procedure. It was to remove a pressurized disc fragment that was pinching a nerve in his back, this procedure. And he wanted to get back on the course in time for the Masters coming up on April 8th. But he said, I've got to get there first, talking about at least being able to get the clearance. He didn't even have the clearance to swing a club.
Yeah.
So he was dealing with this back surgery. And already, I'm sure, in a tremendous amount of pain. Fingers crossed and thoughts to him. He's that would be a tough loss for the sports world. That's for sure.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And I know I've gone through different stages with Tiger Woods, but as he's come through this fire like a phoenix, because he's gone through a lot, I've really gained a lot of respect for his ability to adapt and to become what we all thought and hoped he would be at some point. And then watching him on these matches, you know, the match,
Yeah.
That we've been watching him on. Get to see his personality. Tough news.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Katie's hanging out with us once again. Katie, if you're looking for a home, you're looking to sell a home, whatever you need to do, you've got it all under one umbrella there at Homie. And that's what's so great about what you guys do.
Yeah, we have real estate, title, loans, insurance, even marketplace now where, you know, we have places you can help look for furniture or cleaning services or appliance repair, you know, whatever you need for your home, we've got it for you and we can help with all the savings.
So we were talking about some of the new additions. They've added the 360-degree view for your home when they post it, along with the professional pictures. They assign you a realtor. They come out. They put all the signage up. They get the lockbox. You know, watching the realtor that was assigned to me work hand-in-hand with the buying agents and making all the phone calls, getting the offer, returning kind of what we thought. They make it so streamlined, Katie, and people might think, well, $1,500, I'm just not going to get the service that I need to sell my home. I want people to understand you get more because you're working with high-level professionals that are selling hundreds of homes, not just one or two.
Exactly. You know, when we think that about all the savings that we provide, a lot of people think that they sacrifice the service, and that's 100% false. Like, we provide expert service. Our listing agents, when they're going to list your home, that's all they focus on is listing your home. They don't have to worry about all of the other things. We've got their back so they can have your back. We're here to make sure that it's easy for our agents and it's easy for you to make sure that everything is smooth and simple and transparent and you know exactly what's going on. And we just want to make sure that you know that you're going to get all the savings with all the service.
It's really simple. And look, if you've used Homie, you've saved tons of money. You know what they can do for you. And also here in the next couple of weeks, keep an eye on Homie.com because you're showing Vivint Arena. I think it's going to be really cool for people to see the behind the scenes of what goes on up here.
Yeah, see the behind the scenes of what it looks like. You can go and look at the, you know, 3D tour of the Toyota Club, 3D tour of the Ide Bailey Club, the concourse, go and see what's going on, look at the store. We're just really excited to be able to show all of that and just really proud to be partners with the Jazz.
That's really awesome. Go to homie.com for more info. That's homie.com right here on the Zone Sports Network.